Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday evening, 31st January, recording at 9:27 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, having done the big picture long-term Outlook audio replacement this afternoon, about posting it around 1:30 p.m., I am now doing the normal Monday audio. So let's first just have a quick look at the highlights here today. In Asia, pretty well everything was down that was open, except for the China A shares, and that's interesting because they've rallied for the fourth consecutive day. In Europe, we had a few more stock markets down than up, but only very slightly. Two that were up, though, were Spain and Italy, showing that aversion or avoidance of the southern European markets is clearly less apparent, and there may also be some short covering there. In the Americas, we had one decliner, and that was Brazil. The others have been quite steady here overall. Modest gains, all under 1%, but Wall Street, for instance, closing out on the high of the day, and that's 0.77 on the S&P back up to 1286, NASDAQ up just under 0.5%, Dow about the same, just over 0.5%, and long-dated government bonds, U.S. long-dated treasuries are weak here today, down 27.30 seconds as I speak. U.S. dollar is soft, slipped to 77.77 on the dollar index. And that's really the main currency story here right now. Yen is also soft, but slightly steadier than the dollar. Dollar slipped down to 82.08. And precious metals, a little bit weaker here today. Off the lows, gold got down to 1323 and 25 cents, currently 1332.73. That's still down nearly $4 on the day. Silver actually bucked the trend up slightly at 2804. That incidentally had an upside key day reversal on Friday. Interestingly, and the grain and bean complex strong and closed slightly off the highs, but best performer, the standout, was the rough rice. And in other industrial metals, very firm in here today. And last but not least, crude oil. We're up to 92.01 on the NYMEX contract. It has seesawed a little bit. It was up as high as 92.84. Apparently, there's been massive short covering in that. And the, according to a Bloomberg article, and the Brent contract, I'm just bringing that up, that has done less well, $100.39 as I speak. That's off the high. That one would not have had the shorts. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of global stock markets, we are still in that mean reversion process. Now, depending on when it actually started, some markets have really gone a long way towards completing that process. India was about the first among the major markets to do that. It's actually a little bit below its rising 200-day moving averages. And it got back close to the 18,000 level on the Sensex index here today before bouncing a bit. Now, as you know, and we've been mentioning daily, that India is under a bit of a political cloud right now because of even higher levels of government corruption and some bungling of the food situation, which just highlight the problems that India still has to deal with. So the glass went from looking half full to those of us who are long-term India bulls, and that certainly includes me, to looking a little bit more half empty, I think only temporarily. And if I did anything with India today, I'd be a buyer here. If I were going to do something and make some sort of market change, I would be a buyer rather than a seller. It's down, I think, 14.5% on the Sensex from its high. I think that high was back in November. And so that's a pretty decent correction. Because of the problems, there's a chance in this environment that India could slip a little. The problems I just mentioned, there's a possibility that India could slip a little bit further. So I don't feel any overwhelming urge to buy it at this stage. But suffice it to say that those who are interested in India and are not yet there, this is the time to have a good look. If I were in that position, and I'm not, because India remains my biggest position, and I really haven't disturbed it since 2003. I've maybe added a little bit to it from time to time, but most of the buying was in 2003. And if I didn't have a position, though, what I would probably do now is to just to go out and buy a little, and maybe on the basis of quarter of a position that I actually wanted, and if it slips a little further, I'd pick up more. If it doesn't come down any further, and then we eventually begin to get some signs of upward dynamics, then I'd come in and pick up the rest. But I do think that's pulling, as I say, it's pulling back to a favorable area. Also, a number of the ASEAN stock markets are pulling back to favorable areas, having seen significant mean reversions, having been very, very overextended. If we go back several months, it's all been discussed pretty much daily here in the audios. Now, is there a chance that food price inflation could cause these corrections to become considerably larger? Well, yes, that does have to be a possibility. And I have emphasized over and over that food price inflation was a really serious risk. Here, I don't see much respite in terms of the grains near term. So there is a possibility that as they go higher, that problem becomes even more acute. And it's again, it was described by me as an opportunity a number of months ago, but almost certainly going to be the next problem. And then say the problem has arrived, it's still an opportunity here, a window of opportunity. Because we have got all these CFTC studies now taking place, and I think that Wall Street or whoever would have to bribe a lot of Republican congressmen to prevent some sort of changes in the regulation and tightening of, well, tightening of margin requirements has been going on all along, but it hasn't had any effect here so far. But they may well put limits on speculation. And I think that would be in the long-term interests of these markets and economies. But no more conjecture on my part. The point I want to leave in your mind is that yes, commodity price inflation, particularly regarding food prices, can, excuse me, sneeze suddenly snuck up on me, but it can weigh on these markets for a while longer. Again, I've said before, expect 2011 to be one of choppy activity overall, I certainly don't think this is a bear market year, but it may not feel like or be like a bull market year either. It may just be some rangy activity over the next few months before it starts to improve later on in the year. So maybe the risks are slightly ascendant here. But again, remember, some of these markets have seen some reasonable corrections to make them more competitive once again. And I don't think there's any real threat to the growth. I think we'll still see the Asian growth quite strong. I think I've maintained all along that the China bears were too bearish, and they're mostly Westerners who are terrified of China or don't understand it. And I agree with the Asian specialists who say that China will grow 8 to 9% this year without much trouble. India probably do that as well, and the ASEAN economies I think will do really quite well in terms of growth. So, don't write the region off is my message in this current fashion. Which has caused people to sell Asia and buy Wall Street. Now, Wall Street had that big downward dynamic on Friday, and it was the second one in a couple of weeks, and slightly bigger than the earlier one. So, Wall Street to me looks ripe for at least a ranging consolidation and quite possibly a pullback. But it was steadier today. And I think on the basis of what I mentioned this morning, that for a crisis to remain, a perceived crisis to remain a problem, it has to be seen for the stock markets, it has to be seen to be deteriorating. I'll say that again. For a perceived crisis to remain a problem for stock markets, it has to be perceived as deteriorating. And what people are now saying is, well, Egypt's going to sort this out. Mubarak is just negotiating his exit monies and legal safety and or safety from litigation and probably mostly about money, and that will get Suleiman possibly in a leading a cabinet that's heavily weighted with military personnel, and I'll set that up for elections later on. That seems to be the latest thinking, and that wouldn't necessarily be a bad solution. Meanwhile, people will worry about contagion for a while longer, and justifiably and understandably so. And there are other regional problems. One thing that I know from some relatives in the region is that the flooding around Jeddah in Saudi Arabia has been very, very severe. Has been very severe, and not least because they don't have much in the way of drains, and not being used to all that much water. So there's some discontent there over that factor. And that may have given the oil price an additional goose in here today to the upside. Now, if that's slang, so it may have given it a bit of a push to the upside. If that oil price continues to move higher in here, we will certainly get more corrective activity in stock markets. And as I speak, NYMEX crude is at 92.08, with the Brent about $8 higher at least. So, industrial commodities very strong here. The precious metals and that's led the metals led by tin, which has been a leader really for quite some time, and also nickel. These are quite strong, so that's going to be good for mining shares over the medium term. And precious metals are still underperforming. There was an article on some elaborate, hugely highly leveraged hedge fund pairs trading in gold futures that has been unwound. I've got an article on that here today that may be relevant, or and if it's not all that relevant, it gains some relevance because of the fact that people are writing about it and talking about it. But I'll be posting that later today. But I am nudging myself closer to the buy camp here on these precious metals. Gold's mean reversion has been significant. It can always go a little further. There are no signs yet that it won't, except for that, perhaps for that upside key on silver on Friday. But it wouldn't take much also to push palladium to new highs. So against the background of what are still favorable seasonal factors, I wouldn't expect the precious metal sector to be out of favor for all that much longer, especially with a soft dollar, which has not been reflected here recently. What else to mention? The grain and bean complex. I've mentioned it as being a problem. It is a problem that still looks like an opportunity. And as I pointed out this morning, these grains, as impressive as the gains have been, are nowhere near the levels that we saw in 2008. Will we get back to those levels? I don't know. But it depends how much speculation actually takes place. But fundamentally, the situation, I would say, is much more serious today than it was back then. So, yes, that really could happen. If that happens, that will almost certainly take place in the first half of this year, and that would cause more short-term problems for stock markets and create, I think, also some pretty good buying opportunities for stock markets in the second half of the year. And I mentioned currencies. I just said the dollar is soft in here. That's the main story. And on that note, I think that's pretty much it. I look forward to seeing what tomorrow brings. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.